Right now, we have Joe Vazzani. He is the Chief Executive Officer. We have John Farjo, the co-founder and CPO. And then and both of them are from Lunar Crush. And alongside with us for this conversation, we have the founder and CEO of Metallicus. You know it for MetalPay, Proton, and the new Metal Blockchain and MetalPay API, Marshall Hayner. Thank you all so much for being here. My name is Eric Lyons. And how is everybody doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for having us on, Eric. It's great to see you guys again, Joe and John. How are you doing?
Likewise. Doing great, Marshall. How are you?
Doing great. It's great to be here watching everything. Can you hear me? We're good. Okay, we're good. Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, everything you guys have been doing lately, it's incredible. I'm watching, you know, Lunar Crush, Level 5, stocks, real-time updates. You know, you're putting the other coin trackers to shame. And I don't even think we can qualify you as that because you are a social data analytics platform. Can you tell the audience a little bit about Lunar Crush and what you guys do?
Sure, I'll get it started. Thanks for having us, man. This is awesome here. We're alive. Cheers. We're here at Money 2020. Like, we're right on the floor. The podcast is going on. Thanks for the intro, Eric. It was great. I'm Joe Vazzani, CEO, co-founder of Lunar Crush. We are a social intelligence platform. But what we really do is we make everyone a better investor. You know, and when we first started, you know, crypto was crazy. It was crazier than it is today. You know, we would be out, John and I would be on Twitter, we'd be looking for different projects, trying to figure out who are these founders, how do you invest in these things, who has a strong presence there online. And then, you know, we're building websites, we're building apps, and so we would land on some of these websites and we'd be like, holy crap, these things are terrible. Like, what is real here, right? And so we didn't know what was real. And so we set out to kind of solve that problem in this new world where, you know, you have to figure out across the world 24/7, 365, what's being talked about, what's moving, what's investable, what's not. And so we aggregate the world's social media data for crypto, NFTs, and now stocks. And we help people really understand and create transparency around what has a community, what doesn't. Markets move in real time, crypto markets move 24/7. And so we're out there kind of scanning the world looking for these anomalies in this data. These are things that Wall Street's had on stocks for a long time. Maybe it was held to a very small group of people. They were very kind of specific apps that maybe were built for each hedge fund or each, you know, thing that was out there. You know, the goal of crypto is really to democratize opportunity in Web3, and you know, that's where we started. And now kind of moving into stocks, moving into NFTs, it's just, this is the way that the millennial group is going to be trading. You know, they're gonna take their habits that they've had, you know, trading, you know, Dogecoin, and they're going to move that, you know, when they inherit like their Apple stock or they inherit wherever else, they're going to take those habits and they're going to move on. They're going to want Bitcoin at their bank. They're going to want these things. And so, you know, John and I have been building for a long time together and we've been having a lot of fun, you know, just bringing transparency to the space and growing in the space and, you know, launching new fun, exciting things.
It's awesome. I'm a huge, for if you don't know, if you're not on Lunar Crush, you need to go sign up right now. I'm a huge fan. If you haven't used it before, it basically gives you that, like Joe said, it basically gives you that knowledge before something's happening. And a lot of times people in crypto are just tracking technical analysis and charts and things like that. But what really drives crypto is community, partnerships, momentum, development, and all of these things. And unfortunately, that's just not tracked outside of Lunar Crush, right? There's nowhere else you can find anything like this.
Well, it also moves at a different pace than what we're used to having to follow. So, like, right. You know, I remember growing up and you'd watch the evening news to hear the stories of the day. And it was curated and there was a newsroom and it was, you're hearing a tiny fraction of what's actually going on in the world, right? And then here came social. And it's just too much, right? It's just insane.
It's noise.
You don't know. It's all noise. And so,
and spam and bots.
Yeah, yeah. And
lots
so,
of spam and bots.
It's a whole other topic. Maybe that's a podcast too, just on spam. We do a lot with that. But it's like, you know, to kind of look at these insights at a pace at which they're happening, it's really hard to do. It's not up to us. It's not our opinion of what's important or not. It's really us just showing what's already happening and clarifying it for you. So if you, for example, if there's a big story that pops out there, let's say Elon Musk does something, right? There's going to be 500 or 5,000 or 50,000 publications that write something about it. Well, which one is the community talking about the most? Which one actually has a narrative to it? Which one is actually part of that community building process versus Joe and I sitting in an admin tool checking what we think the community should be watching. That is the wrong approach. And it's actually the approach that if you go to any of the major financial news sites, that's their approach.
Right, right. You know, the basically kind of the joke is the Jim Cramer, right? Just buy the opposite because it's maybe a shill. You know, no offense to Jim, but that's the running joke, right? And it's very powerful because you can see real time what's going on. And you know, for those of you that are out there on crypto Twitter, the crypto community, you see an asset going up, going down, and what do? We start looking for the news, but we have to dig. We have to go and, you know, go onto Twitter, sort through tweets, sort through news, and which is the authentic information? What's causing that movement? And Lunar Crush, you just go and you can just see the influencer, the article, the tweet, what's exactly what's trending, right?
Well, and on top of that, it's once you collect all of those mentions about something that's going on, and then you layer in market data on top of it, and you start to say, because it's kind of like one thing to say, okay, wait, who cares that there's that many social mentions of that thing? But what if you layered that with market data and say, yeah, but when that happens, it tends to move the market. And what if that happens before the market moves and you can catch that? And so it's sort of like looking at everything together cohesively versus just looking at social alone. And so that's a big differentiator. And it's almost two separate things, two separate games that we play of like getting accurate market data, getting accurate social data, and then bringing it to create whole new insights. So
it's amazing. It's awesome. I mean, you know, in the world, you know, going back to this, the social aspect and the bots and the spam, because we could talk about all these different topics, but, you know, that's one of the things where it's a lot of misinformation, right? There's Elon Musk talked about all the, you know, Twitter bots. He's a big Dogecoin guy. You know, you see all this, like, spam coming in after every time he tweets. I get it. You guys get it. But how does Lunar Crush help people sort through all of that? Maybe you can talk a little bit about, like, the platform and how you can sort through influencers, tweets, and stuff like that.
Yeah, I could start. I mean, we're, you know, first off, we do a little bit of, I guess you could say, a simple algorithm, right? Like, we're looking for keywords, we're looking for hashtags, we're looking for tickers, and there's some simple things that you can do just there to kind of start off with that. Right. And really kind of distill down at least what is the investment community talking about around these collections, around stocks and everything else. And then on top of that, though, is, you know, training machine learning models to understand the way that people speak in crypto or in NFTs, stocks a little bit less.
Hello, friend.
Yeah. Or
GM.
Spelling rekt, R-E-K-T, right? That's a different way to speak. And so how do you look at that? But spam is actually, I mean, for us, it's been one of the easier things to kind of filter out because there's just so much of it, right? And so, you know, right now it's us training a lot of data to try and understand what that spam looks like. And then the machine is going to be 1,000 times more efficient than any of us would be at really going and filtering that out. And so that's what it looks like today. We are, you know, we have different profile strengths on Lunar Crush. And so, you know, if you connect things, what are you going to say? You're a master?
I was level? Just going to say, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the new level 5 and some of the, tell the audience about how the platform works with the Lunar token and the membership and how you, because you recently launched level 5 and it's exploding, right?
Yeah. Well, let me finish on spam real quick, which is we're aggregating, we're utilizing the user base, and we know they kind of have a strength based on their social history, how much they've talked about crypto, potentially how much they've traded. So we can see those things and we can create some authenticity around understanding kind of who knows what they're talking about, who doesn't, and then that data can get fed into the machine learning models and make it simple. So we're kind of crowdsourcing machine learning from people that actually know what they're talking about versus maybe someone on Twitter that's just really angry at someone else. And so there's that piece to spam, which I think is like kind of monumental when you think about training machine learning data at scale. But yeah, so level 5, if you're a level 5 on Lunar Crush and you're a strong profile strength, your data is probably going to have more impact on that. But you're also going to get a lot of other things, right? And so we wanted to reinvent the way people think about kind of having this subscription or being a part of a business and what's going on. You know, no one wants another Paramount Plus or HBO Max, or I think Hulu literally just did an ad on this where they made fun of themselves. It's Hulu plus plus plus. Like, they literally know, everyone knows this is a joke, and so
it's like the razor with 5,000 blades.
Right. Oh, like, no. why do I need any of this? And so, but you've been traditionally, you're paying out constantly every month, subscription service. For an Alexa, you're training their machine learning and they take all of the value.
The product.
Yeah, we think that the world is shifting when it comes to this. And so Lunar Token, you hold Lunar Token, that gets you access to these different levels that we have on Lunar Crush. So level 5, you have access to everything. You have stocks, you have crypto, you've got NFTs, you've got maximum timelines. And now, as of today, literally this morning on the plane over here, you have access to live data. So streaming social media, like mentions and analytics at you, not just streaming social media at you, streaming prices at you. So people can literally have their pulse on what's going on. Retail folks can have a pulse for what's going on if they're going and they're holding Lunar Token in their account. And that holds us accountable to where if we start to suck, we're no good anymore, you can then take that value that you created and you can leave. Right, and we think by setting that precedent, it's someone has to change what's going on in this world around just sucking the value in this never-ending, like, where does it end, right? Like, you know,
exactly.
Does it end at the, you know, like McDonnell Douglas and Boeing combining, and then we get the 737 Max because people need to cut corners because Wall Street needs a million, you know, needs the profit. It's, you can build sustainable epic businesses, you know, with a very just rabid user base on what you're doing. And so we're at, you know, we're not at the very beginning stages of that. We're already kind of progressed through it. And so we're really proud of what we've built, and today's a great day.
I've been watching you guys, you know, over the past couple of weeks, and since you guys launched Level 5, just the excitement, the enthusiasm, yeah. Stocks. If you guys don't know, I'm a big stickler for UX and UI. I love Apple products. I love great design. And when you see the new Lunar Crush responsive UI, where it's updating real time and adjusting the different assets and trends, you're gonna love it. It's just so clean.
Well, anyone that nerds out over landscape to portrait view on mobile like you did, you and John are good buddies here, because you guys are right on the same alley.
I love that crisp design, and Lunar Crush has it.
You know, just to speak to UX a little bit, I mean, it's really a core thing that we focus on, because it's like,
I can tell.
Well, it's also like it's never done. You know, it's always listening to the community. It's always like, what are people saying on social? What are they complaining about on Discord? Like, how do we weave that back in to make it better? But it's like, you know, we used to just collect data for cryptocurrencies. Then it was NFTs, and now it's stocks. We have so much data. We get millions of social posts a day that we collect across all of these assets. How do you properly display that? And, you know, and you might first think like, oh, well, it's kind of like a CoinMarketCap or a CoinGecko. They have a list view and they have a detail view, and that detail view has a chart and it has some other stuff to it. But the reality is, this is an ongoing live kind of thing. It's almost, in a sense, much more qualitative than it is as quantitative as, here's the table with one metric, which is just price.
Right.
We have like 20-something metrics. I don't even know the number. We have a lot of metrics. How do you display that, like, together? And we have other improvements we're going to keep making to make it even easier to digest and understand. And it's like, we talk about this a lot, of just maturity. Like, at first we were just trying to collect. Okay, we did that. Okay, now it's let's display it. And then it was 18 charts on a page. And then it was, okay, let's make it easier and better to use. And now it's like, not just make it usable, but make it useful.
It's beautiful.
And then make it actionable.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of maturing into that cycle of like, building like all of these advanced tools to make it actionable, but UX is at the core of all of that, and
exactly.
And it gets harder and harder. It's not,
because you guys are trying to display so much data, and you have to, you know, everyone's attention span is limited, and if you give somebody the fire hose of data, which is kind of what we have now, it's just like, I don't know what I'm looking at.
Right.
But you have the very difficult task of kind of boiling that down in the UI and the UX into something you can digest and then act upon, right?
And have speed, right?
Yes.
Like, we talk about this a lot with, like, you know, anyone that kind of knows development, knows what's going on, they're always messaging us like, can I talk to your CTO? I want to figure out how the hell you guys did this, right? Because they truly understand how much data that we have and we're pulling down. I mean, it's not just Twitter, it's Reddit, right? Like, there's 13 million people in the Wall Street Bets subreddit, right? Like, there's a ton of new data that we have just in the last couple of weeks, and how do you make that snappy? How do you make that fast? Because if someone comes onto your site and it's not loading, if something's not happening the right way, or, you know, this feature, like, I think, you know, Dan probably almost had a heart attack when we were like, hey, can we add drag and drop to the page now? Like, literally dragging a component that has streaming data coming through it across, and how many different concurrent users at the same time. And he cranked that out. He figured it out overnight. He's like, yeah, I'll figure it out, right? But it's like that little piece, that last, John always talks about the last 1%. You can build out an epic, you know, router that does X, Y, and Z, but that last 1% is what makes all the difference. And so we're constantly talking about that, holding each other accountable. Like, hey, what's that last 1%? What do we need to build? What do we need to do? And, you know, at some point we were talking about it. We're like, we're an analytics company that just happens to build community, but we're kind of a UX company as well when it comes to just the amount that we're displaying and the way we have to think through that. It's a huge task. John does an amazing job of making it happen.
Thank you.
it really is impressive. And, you know, for a lot of people will enter into crypto and they'll look around and they'll say, you know, I don't know what to make of this. There's so many different assets. There's so many things going on. I always joke internally in our team that one day in crypto is 10 days in the real world.
Right.
And so for, you know, the uninitiated, you know, if you're just coming in, a lot of people say, oh, just buy Bitcoin because, you know, it's just too much to look at. But then once you get into it and you start to understand it, you start to realize, oh, wow, there's definitely more here. And I've seen this year alone, because we went through a bear market and a lot of intense kind of capitulation, as we call it. I've seen a lot of big traders who are, you know, Bitcoin primarily maximalist for one coin, just come out and say, the opportunities in altcoins, the opportunities, and I'm not gonna dance around this, right? But if you are new, coming in and using something like Lunar Crush, that helps you discern. And it, you know, for most people, they don't have time to sort through a million Reddit posts and Twitter posts and then ask, you know, someone who's an expert, oh, what's the accuracy of this, or what's the reliability of this, yep, versus seeing it real time and having that actionable information, because that really is kind of the edge in crypto, right? Is the community. And then also I want to talk a little bit about the Lunar token and kind of the vision for Web3, because we share this kind of ethos, right, of like community first. We, you know, at Lunar Crush and Metallicus, we don't like this, you know, kind of corporate dominated thing. We're trying to do something different with crypto, where we're involving the community, the people, the communities driving the product and giving the feedback. It's like, for those that are not in crypto, it's hard to imagine. It's like being a sports team, but being a company at the same time, because you have all this feedback, but it's this incredible, again, like fire hose of feedback that you don't get in outside of crypto. So tell us a little bit about Lunar Token and the community.
Well, first you said going through a million posts. I just looked up it. We've had 14 million posts this week that we've collected, right? And there's been 40 billion engagements on top of that. So just like,
and your community is on fire right now. I'm watching everything. It's amazing.
Thanks, man. But yeah, I mean, like I was saying, we're trying to change the way that business is done. We're trying to change the way communities are done. I mean, you see it a lot with, you know, people are trying to kind of figure out how DAOs are going to work and what governance is. You know, I was just listening, I think it was the All In podcast, they were talking about Snap and I think Evan Spiegel, right? I think he's got, like, there's governance on these boards where it's like, you know, 10-1 voting, 50-1 voting. I think they said it was 100-0.
He runs the whole thing. Everybody's just kind of spectating.
Which brings up an interesting point of, you know, if someone's sitting across the table from you and they're giving you feedback and they have a 0% say in actually what happens and they can't hold you accountable, you know, it's just going to change naturally the way a human thinks a little bit, right? And you just, you know, I don't know if he's like a Buddhist monk where he's out there just trying to be morally correct in everything he's doing and he's meditating, who knows? But there's something there, and it's not the right system, right? It's okay system. And so I think, you know, when you think about even the way a DAO can operate, right? And there's, you know, think about Congress. There's 400 some members total with the Senate, you know, and that's representing 330 million people. Even if you just times that by 10, right? And there's 4,000 people that's already a 10x increase in the amount of governance that you have. Yeah. And so it's almost like it's like kind of Steph Curry when he started shooting three so well. It was like this paradigm shift in like 3 points. It was like he moved 30 years into the future. And everyone's like, holy shit, this guy beat the record by so much. I kind of think like DAOs are like that a little bit, where we're almost like, oh, we went from this many people to now every single person can have a say. And you kind of lose that Byzantine generalist problem where it's like you tell one person, how do you know the story's going to get 100 people down? And so I think there's something there, but we have to try and we have to move forward. And so you have to have some sort of control in place. And so for us, by having Lunar Token be a part of what's going on, when you hold that value in your account, you know, that is your value, right? We can't take that from you.
Your voice in the community is part of that membership, but also that DAO and kind of giving feedback. Because, you know, as you guys have evolved the platform, you're getting that feedback from the user. And they're kind of, you know, subscribing. When you hold the token, you go to level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they're getting more involved in the community, you're getting more feedback. And I think it's, you know, there's a saying, fintech is eating the world. Well, I think crypto is eating the world, and it's going to change the way that companies are made, communities are formed. And, you know, Lunar Crush is a prime example of that, because not only do you have your Lunar DAO, but then you have all this data from all these communities coming together. And Lunar, you know, when people ask me, what is Lunar, like the token, it's really a DAO around that, pulling it together, and also creates a mechanism for people to essentially have a voice in that community. So people that hold a lot of Lunar, they're giving you feedback, but they're also kind of subscribing into your private business that's separate from the open source nature of the blockchain that you don't control,
right?
And that's part of the beauty of it, is it's, you know, when you mentioned Evan Spiegel, right? Well, look at the stock, right? Like, it's dying. And when I look at Lunar, well, it's two different directions, right? When you listen to people versus don't listen to people. And more into the future, that's going to be so valuable. And the secret of Lunar Crush is that you get the whisper before it actually happens.
Well, and remember, because there's so many things that we're collecting, that whisper, you want it to be accurate, right?
Right.
And so,
I hope so.
And when that community comes in and we give them a voice, the system itself is giving them a voice. And so people can come in and give their opinion on certain assets at any time. They can come in and say, hey, that's spam. They can mark posts as spam, or that it's very bullish for a project or not. They can share it. We can see all sorts of different things, and that feeds back into the system, and it makes the system more accurate. And so part of it is, like, you know, you could think longer term as we evolve, it's the community kind of driving the product roadmap more and more.
Yeah.
But on the throughout that entire, like, time horizon, they're making our data better. And that's really exciting. That's hard. And like, in a world that's being, like, our biggest increasing metric over the last year was spam.
Right.
Spam.
Yeah.
The fact that the community can have an impact on that, that means everything.
And
it's huge.
You're turning that into, like, a financial incentive, right? So you're, you know, when you have more Lunar Token, you have more of a voice in that platform, you actually care about filtering out that spam, filtering out. And, you know, when, you know, for in other platforms, like, you go into, like, a crypto that you're just discovering, you go into Telegram, it's noise.
Tons,
right?
Of noise.
You got, you know, one guy who's singing the high praises, and then you have another person who's saying it's all going down and whatever. And you don't know if this guy owns $5 or if this guy owns $5 million. You have no idea what people's stakes are. Somebody that's saying it's going up or going down may have the opposite of intentions, right? And look at what Elon Musk recently said about Twitter and Dogecoin. You know, this idea was tossed out about, hey, you know what? If we just charge one Doge per tweet, I guarantee the spam would go way down.
Right.
So same kind of idea with Lunar Token. You're getting that feedback from people who have, they're holding weight in Lunar Token. They're getting more and more involved in the community. As they get more involved, they get more voice. And then as we get into more, you know, open democratic systems with cryptocurrency, you could have scenarios where people are even, you know, putting Lunar at someone to kind of raise them up, right? And I mean, I don't know if it's a future product or not, but, you know, I get all excited of that vision, you know?
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah, boosting someone, like, not just boosting your product, boosting someone to say, like, this person's actually really great. You should hear about them. It's kind of like a comedian going up, and they get to bring someone around with them and bring them on stage that no one's heard of. They're kind of boosting them up a little bit and giving them a voice because they know they're good because they're talented. And I think, like, influencers, it's so interesting, or, like, internationally, more like KOLs, like key opinion leader, or anyone that's out there that has influence over something. You know, we want to hold those people accountable as well. We started the influencer side of the business, just kind of looking at Twitter, understanding what people say over time. But just like with all the crypto-specific data, NFT-specific data, we can drive deeper into that as well. And so part of what we're going to be building right now is you're going to actually be able to see on each coin detail page, you want to select an influencer and see where they posted. You're going to be able to do that, right?
Wow.
And so imagine looking at you know, any influencer out there looking at Elon, right, and just tapping and overlaying him on top of Dogecoin and see, hey, did Elon's tweets actually affect the price? Maybe historically, you know, maybe it's not like in that very, very moment. But if you're like, hey, I'm going to go just kind of check this influencer out and see what impact they've had. Like you said, maybe someone's posting about XRP constantly and they're posting at these times because they want to push it down, right? But imagine now looking historically at someone and saying, Jim Cramer, when has Jim Cramer posted about any stock at all? Can he be overlaid onto the market? And I can see where Jim's calls have been made, right? So then you can actually algorithmically or thematically create an opposite Jim Cramer ETF.
And so that brings up the point that, you know, this platform, that Lunar Crush, is not just for consumers, it's also for institutional, right? Because, you know, in the past, there's all types of research, but the thing that I love about Lunar Crush is that, you know, and you'll hear me say this all the time, community is everything in crypto. And so the best way to understand cryptocurrency, you know, what that vision is to get deep inside the community, read what the influencers are writing. And then also, you know, going back to the talking about the influencers, it's good to have, you really want to have good data. And lately, there's been a lot of question about influencers' intentions, payola, as they say, and being able to sort through that. You know, I've seen some pretty crazy stuff over the past few weeks. I won't name names, but I've seen some pretty crazy accusations and crazy things. To be able to sort through that, that's invaluable, because you may show up and may tune into some random YouTube channel and you have no idea who's paid to say what and whatever. So when you can see the correlation between other influencers all saying the same thing, you know that it's genuine news. But then you can also, like you said, overlay that with the graph. And this isn't just for, you know, if you're just out there, you know, trading for yourself, you're using the MetalPay app, you're on Lunar Crush and you're buying and selling, but you may also be an institution. You could be a large crypto exchange, a crypto fund, and Lunar Crush has that data, so you can use that to make I don't want to give away anything, but I know you guys work with some pretty large institutions and stuff like that. I think that's so cool, because in the past, I think that historically we've focused more on technical analysis and things like that in crypto. And crypto Twitter, as they say, was all charts. And nowadays, since Lunar Crush has grown, I'm seeing more and more just Lunar Crush sharing, of course. Yeah. But, you know, focus on the socials, focus on the FA more than the TA. And I think that that's, you know, there's the TA, which is, you know, maybe it'll happen, but the FA is pretty, you know, if a blockchain releases new functionality, new partners come on board, that's fact, right? Yep. But the TA is kind of like, well, you know, we think there's a bullish cross here. Maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. But you guys are really serving up that information that you can really make solid decisions on, because I think, you know, TA is great, but without FA, without knowing the fundamentals, you can't really know much at all. I saw something recently where there was, I think it was CNBC, where a trader was talking about a stock, and he was just talking about the technicals, and then the announcer on the other side said, "And what do you think about the company's fundamentals?" And he completely forgot what company. He was just like looking at a chart. That. Yeah.
That was amazing. That was amazing. Just completely blank.
And that's kind of like what you guys are doing, are the solution to that, right?
Well, it's also in crypto, it's like, what, you know, if you're a big Wall Street firm, they've got models for how they should look at companies,
right?
It's regulated, they know what filings to look at, they know what data to look at. Even if they're looking at, you know, shadows in oil tankers to see how full they are from satellites out in space, right? Like, they know to the detail what to look at, supply chains, all that, right? Crypto, they don't quite know what to look at. And when it's all community-based, when it's like, you know, I'll just take like influencers, for example. You know, if you're a big financial firm, you're not used to following influencers.
No.
Right?
And definitely
and like,
not.
And if I were a big financial firm and I wanted to know, like, well, I'm interested in Proton, XPR, you know, who's influential for XPR? I see this person over here that's a huge influencer, all of a sudden talking about it, but they haven't posted ever about it before. Are they an influencer for Proton because they did one post one day, one time?
Exactly. How do you know, if it's manipulation, if it's paid, if it's, you know, versus is it organic?
It matters. It matters, and frequency matters, and having ongoing engagement matters, and ongoing activity with your own posts and everything like that. It all matters. But that's just one aspect to it. Like, we have an API that we have a lot of firms using that's part of a larger model that they're putting together. And so there's all sorts of ways to slice this data up. You know, it's like you could say, like, well, what social metric matters most? I could say, you know, social engagement's really interesting because it measures the depth of posts. It means right. that, like, well, like, if you posted about Metallicus or I posted about Metallicus, I'm probably not getting as much engagement as you, right? And so at scale, it helps filter out, well, what kinds of things are hot in building community out there. That's interesting. The number of social contributors, individual, like if you had a, if you were a website owner and you were looking at your analytics, you'd be looking at your unique users. But what about each day, the number of unique people posting about your asset? So again, these are all sort of like foreign metrics to traditional like analysts, and it's at the core of crypto. And so it takes a different mindset to be successful in this space at scale. And what's kind of scary about it is the large amount of money coming in blind right now. It's going to be an interesting next few years.
Big blockchains not to be named. Lots of hype. I'm sure you see them trending. But how many transactions per second are we doing? But off topic. But you know, I think that it's really important for new crypto projects. You know, you're coming in, and if you're just entering crypto, let's say you're launching your coin or token, you should really be judging yourself by Lunar Crush, right? You should really be looking at that. It's not just you know, logging in and seeing like how many anonymous people hit thumbs up or thumbs down or something, right?
Right.
Versus seeing the social engagement, seeing the contributors. And it really is kind of like a report card in a way for cryptos to kind of see how they're doing, really gauge that. And also for marketers, it's really helpful, right? Because you can see what impact, for example, if you're an influencer, to, you know, flip it around on the other side, you know, what kind of impact are you making, you know, in your community and things like that? And what sorts of interactions are catching on, right? And that also is helpful for the coins and token projects themselves, because as they announce certain things or features, you can see how people are interacting. And I know we use it at Metallicus. You know, when we float out an idea or something out there, I'll put it on Twitter and I'll go check social engagement on Lunar Crush and see how we're doing, see how the other influencers are picking it up.
Yep.
But this is...
Imagine doing that in real time now. You're going to be able to drop it and literally be like, do I get on this top 10? But you bring up a good point because, you know, right now I'd say like, we're kind of at this spot where it reminds me of like Slack when, you know, the agencies and the companies, it was like small groups of people at the companies were using Slack, but the companies weren't buying Slack yet, right? Like we, at a lot of the larger exchanges and everything, these employees, all these people are using Lunar Crush, they're using it for analytics. You're using our retail tool, the yep. consumer tool, to find analytics for a business, right? And so, very close here, John's got a great, amazing roadmap, but we're gonna be able to build things just specifically for you, right? Just for you to go understand what's going on. We're an influencer out there trying to understand what's going on, and I can't tell you how many times the influencers will reach out to us, how come I'm not here, how come I'm up there? Did you change this, or did you do that? I'm like, we've made one change in the algorithm since we launched, and that's giveaways. People were just abusing giveaways and typing giveaway, and it was like all this spam. So like giveaways, you can't use that anymore to like kind of fake engagement. If you actually get followers from that, eventually that creates your community. But it's very difficult to manipulate this stuff over time consistently, and you can't beat the algorithm when it comes to understanding what spam is. And so, sure, someone might be able to pump something for a week, 2 weeks maybe, but when you look at a 2-year timeline or a 3-year timeline, and you see, you know, Proton's community grow, and then you see XYZ crazy coin go up and down in 1 or 2 weeks, you can't continue that over years, but you can grow organic groundswell community over time. And so it's like, how do you bring those correct people in? How do you create your community? And how do those people know and append themselves to those community? I think it's a beautiful thing that these influencers want to be a part of what's going on. And sure, they can go out and they can say, oh, I'm XYZ on Lunar Crush today. But you know, by the time they go try to sell that to a company, just they haven't been able to keep that engagement up. You have no report card. So it's like, it's just this, like, you know, I think someone just announced an influencer list for 2022. And they like, you know, they went to their internal company and they said, vote on this and who the most influential people in crypto are. And by the time that news comes out and the 4 or 8 people voted on it's already gone. And so it's like, you can't compete at that. You need to stay real time. And so that's been the big focus of ours, is crypto is living and breathing, trading 24/7, business is 24/7. The United States is not the only place in the world. And yes, it's a big piece of that, but when we're sleeping, other people are working, and this machine just has to keep going.
I'm coining a new phrase on this show. I'm calling, you've heard of TWAP, time-weighted average price,
yeah.
Time-weighted average engagement. That's what we need to be looking at,
yes.
TWAE, Way. Not the price. The price, Way. As they say, like, you know, one Doge equals one Doge, one Proton equals one Proton, one Lunar equals one Lunar. But, you know, I want to see the time-weighted average engagement because you can't fake that.
Yes, that's exactly right.
I wanted to add one thing to what you were saying. And like, the difference in this space, too, is you can't buy this. You can't buy engagement. You can't buy community. You can only build it.
That's right.
And I think that there's a major difference between like some of the more centralized entities in this space, namely exchanges, but I won't mention names. You know, they're the only ones buying Google AdWords.
Yeah.
The only ones. And they're looking at it because they're looking at a revenue per customer. They're basically cornering people into staring at candles all day. They show up at these exchanges and they have no idea what they're trading. They don't know what the asset does. They don't know what's trending or not. All they see is that a candle was green.
Right. And don't even know why.
No idea. And then they go on Twitter and then they get lost and saw one influencer's tweet, and so they think that's justifying it. And it's like it isn't. You really, that's a short-term thing that I think far too many in crypto that have been initiated into crypto as their first experience is to get burned, you know? And it's like, and then it gives crypto a bad name. Oh, it's a scam. Oh, it's a scam. And it's like, no, you just clicked, you weren't part of a community. You weren't part of any project at all. You didn't even use that project. You just bought a candle and you don't even know why. It's pretty crazy.
It's, and you know, this is, as they say, DYOR, do your own research. But did they ever tell you where to do the research? You have to go to Lunar Crush. Because if you're going somewhere else, you know, I got a shill. If you're going somewhere else, chances are you're talking to someone who's going to tell you to buy too late, to sell too early, or just give you straight up misinformation, right? Whether it was intentional or unintentional. But when you can see everything trending together and now you can see it real time, you can really make informed decisions, right? And that's kind of the, you know, it's been the problem in crypto in the past is, you know, you see the green candle, you go into Telegram, hey, what, you know, why is this, why is it going up or why is it going down? And you're not gonna get the right information. What are the odds the person who knows that information, who's gonna honestly tell you, is in the chat room at that second?
Right.
Chances are not, right? And so having that that information allows us to make better decisions, but also I think that it tells you kind of the, it's also like a weather forecast for crypto. So we see like different trends growing in crypto. You can see those trends over time between different blockchains, different coins. And also, you know, we're here at Money 2020. People ask me all the time, like, what's the next direction of crypto? Well, Lunar Crush is a great place to see that because you can see what's trending in each crypto community, and then you can overlay that. You can see, you know, what's where, when that's causing price momentum, when that's causing social engagement. So you can actually, not only when it comes to prices, but also trends of the technology, of the places that we're going. Because so, many times, too often, we focus on price. We've been talking about that a lot on this stream. But, you know, what about the trends? We're at Money 2020. What's the next trend in crypto? Faster payments, lower gas fees, inter-blockchain communication. There's all these things that are happening, and because it's moving so quickly, you may not be able to track that easily, right?
I think the next trend in forever is community.
Community. We're all about community here. It starts with community. It ends with community. Hopefully, it never ends, but it. We grow crypto through community. We grow crypto through partnerships. And the difference between crypto and companies is that crypto is open source. You have contributors. You have open source contributors. And I think that over time, it's going to completely change the way we do business, right? People are actively involved. They're contributing not only as just developers, but also as community members and also through DAO governance voting, like with Lunar Token. So I think we're at the end of the stream, but did you guys have anything you want to say to our viewers? Any shout outs? Go for it.
I want to give a shout out to like the Lunar Crush team. You know, we've been, you know, busting our butts trying to get level 5 out. We've been getting everything real time, just the team, John, everyone. you know, has done a great job. So if you guys are listening and gals are listening, thank you so much for all the work there. Thank you, Marshall, for having us, and Will for setting it up. Eric, this has been great. I mean, you guys are awesome. We love hanging out with you guys.
We love the Lunar Crush team. I don't know if I shilled it too hard on this stream, but I did my best.
No, appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks again for coming on, guys. And check us out at Money 2020, booth 1737. Joe and John from Lunar Crush, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, my man.
Thanks for having us.
Cheers.